But before that, to a remarkable story which shines a new light on the so-called Little Ice Age. And it comes about thanks to a brick in a church in a tiny hamlet called Santon Downham near Thetford. David Porter lives in the West Midlands, and he spied the brick whilst visiting the church in the summer and wants to know more about its origins. Intrigued? Well, we were. So we packed Making History's Richard Daniel off with a spade to Thetford Forest, where he met up with Dr. Stephen Godby from Nottingham Trent University.
Now, Steve, we've come to St. Mary's in Santon Downham, a pretty church. We're surrounded by conifers in the heart of Thetford Forest, just in Suffolk, on the Norfolk-Suffolk border. And if we look up at the tower of the church, there's a curiosity, isn't there?
There is. There is a red brick about 6 metres above ground level in the coinstones of the church, and it's thought that that marks the height that sand reached during a sand flood event here in the 17th century.
This village was in deep trouble at that time, wasn't it?
Indeed. The village was engulfed by sand, large amounts of it blowing around, and in fact the local river here was blocked at one stage. There are numerous literary accounts, fortunately, and one of the best that we have is from a gentleman called John Evelyn.
The travelling sands about 10 miles wide of Euston that have so damaged the country, rolling from place to place, and like the sands in the deserts in Libya, quite overwhelmed some gentlemen's whole estates.
We're in the middle of the village, and there's evidence around us of this sand flood event. The house to our right is actually excavated into the side of a sand dune. This area was described as a desert in the heart of England at the time, and a local landowner, Thomas Wright, wrote a letter to the Royal Society explaining the desperate straits that the villagers were in at the time.
'Tis about 30 to 40 years since they first reached the bounds of Santon Downham, where it continued for 10 to 12 years in the outskirts, without doing any considerable mischief. 'Tis now got into the body of this little town, where it has buried and destroyed diverse tenements and houses.
So where was the sand coming from, and why did it start moving?
Well, Wright was convinced that the source of the sand was about 5 miles to the southwest of the village.
Now, we've come a few miles down the road to Wangford Warren near Lakenheath, and we're just surrounded by sand here. As you can hear with this spade, we're just digging into it. Now, Dr. Mark Bateman from University of Sheffield has joined us as well. Mark, this is an extraordinary landscape.
Yes, it's quite incredible. Here we are, we're surrounded by dunes which are up to about 6 metres high in the landscape.
It reminds me of being on the coast.
It does, yes. It's almost like the tide's gone out from the fens.
And why all the sand here?
Well, we think this is possibly where Thomas Wright was pinpointing as the source of the sand flood that was at Santon Downham. And we've been investigating over the last few years these sands in these dunes. And we've been using a technique called luminescence dating to find out how old the sand is.
So you can tell when the sand last moved through this technique?
That's correct. So we now know that the sand flood isn't a unique event in the history of the Brecks. In fact, the Brecklands themselves, as people know, are a very sandy area, and this is a vestige of the last ice age. And just after the last ice age, the whole area was windswept and a lot of sand was blown out of the fens in the North Sea Basin.
So how old is the sand here?
The very basal sand's about 15,000 years old when we had periglacial Arctic conditions. And then there's been, through the last 10,000 years, a number of periods, about 7,000 years ago, about 1,500 years ago, and as recently as 50 years ago, these sands were actually blowing around in the landscape.
And can you tell that sand blown from here in the 17th century then turned up at Santon Downham down the road?
Well, at this particular site, the sand appears to be missing from that particular age. But what we think is that...
So it went somewhere?
It went somewhere. It's eroded away from here. And the dates we've got from Santon Downham, from the sand dunes we found there, actually coincide with Thomas Wright's report.
So he may well have been onto something.
That's right, yes.
So what triggered such a massive movement of sand? Because we think of it happening in the Sahara, but not here. And not in the 17th century, when it was freezing. We were in the middle of the Little Ice Age then.
That's right. Temperatures are thought to have been 1.5 degrees colder. and people were obviously skating on the Thames, and we don't envisage the dunes and the Brecklands indicating a much warmer temperature than the London area. What we think is at that time it was increased storminess in the climate, and we have evidence from elsewhere on the coasts of coastal dune systems being very active at this time, indicating those storms. And of course, as the temperature was colder, so the vegetation growing season was much shorter, so there would have been more stress on the vegetation on the landscape.
Steve, we're at the site of an old warren. Was rabbit grazing a problem, do you think?
Well, there were large numbers of rabbits on the warrens at that time. It was a very important part of the economy here. And also there would have been sheep grazing the warrens at the same time as the rabbits, and rabbits and sheep in combination can be quite destructive to vegetation cover.
So those could have been added factors?
They could indeed have been added factors, and almost certainly for this particular sand flood, they would have been very important.
There are still unanswered questions. You want to find out more, though, don't you?
Yes, I mean, we've looked in detail now at the Santon Down and sand flood, and we've got indications from Wangford Warren that this isn't a unique event, and there are others in the area going back through time, but there's a lot more work to done linking this in with the archaeological record and other documentary evidence.
And going back to St Mary's at Santon Down and the brick in the tower, is it conceivable the sand really got that high?
Well, it's possible that sand could have drifted that high against buildings during the sand flood, but we don't have any evidence for that, I'm afraid, and we ought to perhaps put that down to it being an old wives' tale at the moment.
The jury's still out.
The jury is still out.
Mark Bateman from the University of Sheffield, Steve Godby from Nottingham Trent University, and Making History's Richard Daniel, and the great, or not so great, sand flood of Santon Downham.